I want to talk to you for a few moments about prayer. We are in a perilous time right now, and the only force, the government can't stop this. This is a moral problem. This is a spiritual problem in our society today, in the world today, and the only force that God has ever had that can counter it, and not just stop it, but actually push it back, is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's you, it's me, it's you and I getting to the point of saying, God, enough is enough, I'm going to press through. Remember the scripture that says, if my people are called by my name, now that's for Israel, but it applies to every generation, will humble themselves and pray. In other words, we talked about it a little bit this morning, we'll just put away all of the human effort, all of the, we'll just have the humility to admit the nation is dying on our watch, and it ought not to be so. When 120 people can come out of an upper room and eventually bend the knee of even Rome, something is wrong with our profession today. And we have to have the courage, we have to have the humility to say, God, we're not condemned. We understand that now because of the new covenant. We're loved. We're eternally secure in you. If we remain believers in you, we're covered as it is. We're going to the throne of God. That is our inheritance in Christ. But we need to begin to pray like we've never prayed before and say, God, would you help us? Would you take us deeper? Would you take us farther into your life that you promised to give to us? And would you make our lives a light and salt? Would you do with us and through us what you've done in ages past through other generations, through other people? Would you push back the darkness like you did in Esther's day when just one girl went into the king and was able to rewrite a law of death into a law of life? Would you give us the courage of a Gideon to adopt even what looks like an insane plan in the natural, but it was the plan of God to win the day? Would you give us the courage of David, as we heard this morning, to, in spite of our failure, to pick up that garment of praise and prayer again and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you take me? What would you want to do through my life? Would you give me the courage to speak when all hell's threatening? If you speak, you're going to burn. If you pray, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. We're dealing with that today. And we need to pray that because he has everything that we need is in Christ. Everything, everything, everything. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We've talked about that under the new covenant. Seek the understanding of who I am. And then the next thing is turn from their wicked ways. And I threw out a question this morning before we prayed, and it's simply this. Is it not the ultimate wickedness to set up a false image of God before a society? Isn't it when we are being led of the flesh and we are saying this is what God looks like? Is that not the image of jealousy that was in the temple in Ezekiel's day? When God looks down and he sees an image that we create that is not him. We talk about him and we point what we think is to him, but we're following the dictates of our natural mind. We're not being led of the Spirit of God. And we're pushing with all of our sweat and all of our strength to build a kingdom we can't even see, knowing that if the Lord doesn't build the house, we labor in vain. And it's just a question I threw out. Is that not a wicked way? If we are humbling ourselves, if we are praying, if we are seeking his face, then the next thing that has to happen in our heart is we begin to realize, God, this has to be all you and none of us. You have to lead us, knowing we're not condemned. Yet that's what we have to understand. Otherwise, nobody can go there. If you're still dealing with an Old Testament kind of view of Christianity, you can't go there because you'll be condemned. But if you and I know the depth of how much God loves us, if we understand how we're covered in Christ and where we are in him, then God can begin to speak. Then God can begin to convict. Then God can say, as Pete said just a moment ago, you've messed up, son, but I'm your father. And if you'll trust me, I'm going to lead you through this. And so there's no shame in that. The only shame is holding to something that is deficient. We have to have the courage to pray again. This, which brings me to this moment, Luke chapter 11, if you turn there with me. Luke chapter 11. Now, Father, I thank you, God, with all my heart, Lord, for what you are speaking to us, to our hearts. I thank you, Lord, with everything inside of me, that though this is a dark and a perilous moment in history, yet you have always, throughout history, When you wanted to bring a prophet into the world, you sought for a barren womb. When you wanted to give life to your son, you looked for a virgin. God Almighty, when you wanted to defeat enemy armies, you looked for a Gideon, the weakest man perhaps that you could find, and called him a mighty man of valor. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that we don't have to boast. We don't have to pretend. We can be exactly who we are. And thank you, Lord, that in our failure, in our flawedness, Lord, in everything that we have failed to be, you come down to us. And one more time, you call us mighty men and women of God. And so, Lord, we receive the title you place upon us. And we ask you, Lord, to lead us into the future. Give us words, Lord, that can only come from heaven. Let the people who sit under our ministry walk away saying, nobody ever spoke to me like this before. Lord, let it be your voice that is animating us. Let it be your hands that are touching through us. You really do live in this temple. So God, give us the grace to yield to you and to let you manifest your glory through us as earthen vessels, temples, Lord, that you have chosen to inhabit. Give us an understanding of these things. Lead us and guide us, Lord, into the future. In Jesus' name. I love the power of prayer and the understanding that nothing happens really without prayer, because prayer is ultimately a dependence upon God. Prayer is a looking away from oneself. Prayer is coming to the doorway of God and saying, Lord, as the brother said today, I was sharing the keys to a successful life in ministry, and here it is, and he was waiting with bated breath to write it down. Here's the prayer I've prayed all my life. Lord, help me. You know, you can change the accent. You can say, Lord, you can stretch that out and help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know, it's a prayer. I used to be a jogger, and I would run a couple of miles every night, and I would pray that constantly. Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And I'm not ashamed to say that was my prayer, and he answered it. So I figured today, why should I change it? He's always answered it, and he's brought me this far from where he took me from. Verse 5, Luke chapter 11, red letter. This is right from the mouth of Jesus. And when Jesus speaks, there's something always, it's not just a story. There's something in it. There's something deep in it. There's something life-changing in every word that he speaks. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Now I'm going to start there and just stop. This is phenomenal. This speaks about it's a type of prayer. This is somebody coming to the door of a friend that he knows has the resource that he needs. He knows he has it. Now he doesn't have it, but he knows his friend has it. He has the humility to admit he doesn't have it. It'd be embarrassing, really, wouldn't it, to show up at somebody's door at midnight and you don't even have 3 loaves of bread, and somebody's come to your house. But you see, he had humbled himself. He didn't really care to look good, and he came to his friend's door, and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, Christ is always speaking about himself and his church in these contexts. So when you look at it, I shared the other night, for example, the covenant that God was making with Abraham. He said, bring a heifer 3 years old and a goat 3 years old and a ram 3 years old. And you look at, of course, those things that are at the age of 3, Pastor Nick tells me, that are at the pinnacle, the peak of their strength, the peak of their physical perfection, may I put it that way, which leads always to the sacrifice of Christ. 3 years ministering on the earth, 30 years old when he starts into ministry, 3 days in the grave, 3 days later raised from the dead, ascends back to the Father, the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so what he's saying is the friend comes and he doesn't just throw a random number out. There's something to this, 3 loaves. In other words, he's saying, come knock on my door and admit that you need everything that I have purchased for you. We need the compassion of the Father who loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son. We need that. I need that. You need that. We need the conviction and the courage of the Son to go to a cross and to trust that there's a divine purpose in what in the natural looks to be defeat and disaster. We have to believe and have the courage to do what God calls us to do. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish it, because we can't do this in our own strength. This man said, it's midnight. And we're living at midnight now. And when you look at in the Bible, every illustration about midnight, it was at midnight in Acts 27 when they, in the storm, they were sounding for the depth and they perceived that they were drawing near to an unfamiliar place. It's midnight in America right now and parts of the Western world. We are drawing, you know it, I know it, we're in a storm and we're drawing close to an unfamiliar place. We're about to land somewhere we've never been. It's midnight right now. Thank God there was somebody knocking on the door of God in the belly of that ship who had a word for the people that were on that journey. It was at midnight the spirit of death passed over Egypt. And we're living at a time when a spirit of death is passing over our nation. Suicide is rampant in our cities now. It's becoming the number one problem with many places with our youth. And I can go on and on. It's at midnight. The cry came, behold, the bridegroom comes. Some had oil and some didn't. It was at midnight. And we go all through the scriptures and you'll see. And now this man, it was midnight and he recognized that he didn't have what he needed. And it's like you and me as leaders, as pastors, as people of God, to have the courage to say, God, it's midnight. It's dark, and people are looking for an answer, and I don't have the compassion of God that I need. I don't have the courage. I don't have the conviction to go the whole journey, and I don't have the power that I need to make a difference. And so I'm coming to you, Lord, and I'm knocking on your door, and I'm asking you to give me what I need. It's midnight. Now, I want you to notice something about this. A lot of people pray and they don't get an answer. And James gives the reason why. James says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask for your own self, for your own lust. In other words, it's not wrong to ask God for certain things. But if that becomes your dominant prayer life, there's something wrong with that. There's a point where God will shut the tap off, may I put it that way, and say, listen, prayer is more than that. You're not just going to live your life asking for yourself, for a better job, better car, more relationships, a deeper ministry. There's a point where this man didn't have bread for himself, but he didn't knock on the door for himself. It was for somebody else who had come at midnight who had nothing to eat. You see, this is the kind of prayer that God begins to answer. There's a point of maturity where our prayers cease to be exclusively about ourselves. And we start praying for those who have no helper. We start praying for those that are going to be aborted in the womb. We start praying for our marriages that are going to be fall apart. We start praying for a society that's being destroyed. We start praying for children that are dying in our streets and they don't have any way out. They're being lied to. If they survive the womb, they're being genderly confused now in the schools and they're being doctrinally indoctrinated in colleges to hate God and country. And somebody has to go to the throne of God for them. Somebody has to say, Lord, what I don't have what it takes. That's what humility is. I don't have what it takes. I pray that all the time. I know I don't have what it takes. I know it's only God's spirit within me that will make the difference. It's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And you see, the prayer that God begins to answer is a prayer that comes to those who have in measure matured inside. See, one of the reasons why God is giving us a prayer meeting in 196 countries, we meet at 5:30 to pray for the prayer meeting that's going to be on at 7 till 8:30, and then we stay a half hour and pray again at the end sometimes. Not every week, but sometimes we do at the end. And we pray for others, not for ourselves. We pray for others. And we let it be known in that prayer meeting, we're not here to pray for ourselves. People are, and they're texting in from all over the world. We have Muslims texting in saying, we're watching this prayer meeting. We're not quite sure what this is about. Could you explain it to us? So sometimes we have to stop and do that. We've got a lot of pastors texting in who are totally backslidden and they know it and they don't care anymore. They want to get right with God. But people in prison. We had a man in jail recently just said, I'm in prison. I'm in isolation, and I'm told there's no more hope for me. Is that true? This is a prayer request coming in on a Tuesday night. We have children. I'm being hurt by somebody in my home, and a lot of times it's even sexual abuse, but we don't have a name. We can't really report it. Could you pray for me? And sometimes we just have to stop right there and just start to pray. But we're not there to pray for ourselves. You see, when all we do is pray for ourselves, we actually become Laodicea in the long run. When the cupboard is full, and when there's two cars or a car and a half in the garage, whatever, and our kids have a chance at an education and we feel satisfied, then we say, hey, we're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. That's probably why there's hardly any prayer meetings left in the country. And verse 7 says, he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise. Now he's speaking about himself. Keep this in mind. Though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, you see, it's in this context now. We sometimes start at verse 9, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives, etc., etc. But we forget the qualifier before that. He gives an illustration of somebody that says, I know you have it and I need it and I'm not leaving until I get it. And the incredible thing is, he wants us to pray that way. I remember reading about the Welsh revival, and one casual observer of the revival in Wales in 1904-ish in that time zone went into one of the meetings at prayer, and he said the amazing thing in this spiritual awakening is people began to pray like God could not deny them. And he was really taken, like they were praying for their loved ones, as you said. They were praying for their families. They were praying for their nation. They were praying for the glory of God to be, and they were praying in a way that it was no longer just a whine. It was no longer just a petition. Well, if you feel like, they were praying in a way like he told us to pray. They were knocking on the door of heaven and basically saying, we're not leaving because you told us to pray this way and this is our right. You have the bread, you have the compassion, you have the power, you have the conviction ability. You can turn a nation in a moment of time, so we're not leaving until you give us what we need to represent you in this generation the way you need to be represented and deserve to be represented. We're not living this squeaky Christianity any longer that just kind of mutters and peeps and doesn't have a clear message. We're going to stand up and be counted. And if it puts us in prison, then it puts us in prison. God will give us the courage. God will give us the compassion. God will give us the power. But we're not willing. I am not willing to have people in New York City die in their sin. When I am still there and the church is still there, we have a voice. We have the power of God. We have the victory of the cross. And there's got to be something gets into us as the people of God. It says, no more. The parade of death stops. The gate of Nain, this is over. I'm not whimpering away. As Pastor Gary said, I'm not standing to the sidelines and let this parade of death go by me any longer. We had a stabbing in high school just last week just a couple of blocks down from the church. And then after that, it broke out in a huge fight right in front of the church. Young people on the way home. We were meeting and we're praying. We're saying, God, we have to reach them. We're going to reach them. They need to know there is a God who loves. We don't care how that's going to happen, but it's going to happen, and we're going to be involved in it by the grace of Almighty God. So I say to you, ask. In the context of the man banging on the door, you got to get that. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. In the context of the man who won't go away. In the context of the man who says, you got the bread, and I'm not leaving until I get it. He's telling us to pray that way. You know, in this generation, it seems almost obnoxious to pray like that, but he told us to pray like that. There's a kind of a prayer that it's where true sons and daughters just, they know what their inheritance is. They know who God is. For everyone who asks, receives. How many? Everyone. Does that include you? Everyone. Everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? In other words, will God give you something other or something deficient or something low level? Will he negotiate? Say, you're asking for a 10, I'll give you a 2. You're asking for the right reasons. You and I are asking for the sake of others. That's why I love the theme of this school. It's more than a theme. It's in the air. Living for the benefit of others. It brings a joy into the heart. It brings a sense of purpose. When we're finally delivered, thank God from it being all about ourselves. If you then, being evil, he's talking about by nature, apart from what God does in us, apart from who God makes us. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? So it all comes down to this. It all comes down to the Holy Spirit. The power of God, the person, the third person of God, the sovereign ability that God plants within a heart to do what we can't do, but he can. The giftings, the new mind, the new heart, the new character, the God produces in a person. That the glory goes to him. It's not of us. We can't boast of it. It's him. If we're going to do any work at all, let it be with our knuckles on the door of heaven. Let's just keep knocking. And I'm not leaving. God, I'm not leaving till I have a word from you. I'm not leaving, God. I'm not leaving and abdicating and surrendering this generation. The most stupid prayer I read in the entire Bible is Hezekiah. He had a phenomenal ministry, in a sense. God had blessed him, and he'd given him giftings and abilities, and he'd won victories, and he made inventions, and all the stuff that Hezekiah did. A prophet of God comes to him, and he knew this history with God, just as we know the history of God and what he's done throughout history. And a prophet of God comes to Hezekiah and says, your sons are going to be taken captive. They're going to be castrated. And they're going to be taken into a foreign king's palace to serve him. And Hezekiah says, instead of falling on his face as he once did before and asking God to win a victory, which he did for him, Hezekiah says, well, as long as it doesn't happen in my day, isn't that a good thing? And we can fall prey to that in the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, people are going to, you know, the nation is turning bad and the government's going to increase their overreach into homes. They're going to come against the testimony of Christ. They're going to generally confuse our children in school, then take them out of our homes when they get to be 8 years old. But as long as it doesn't happen to my family, isn't that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. It's an evil thing. And it should send us to our faces before a holy God. It should cause you and I to be knocking on the door of heaven like we never knocked before. God, send a revival into my town. Send a revival into my church. Awaken the people to their condition. Awaken the church to who she is in Christ. And then awaken the people in the community to their peril without God. Give us a voice, Lord God, in this generation to drive back this wickedness. Lord, we don't have to stand on the sidelines and watch the devil swallow our children and swallow a whole generation, destroy our homes, distort the image of God, destroy the institution of marriage. We don't have to stand back and watch it happen unless we pray the prayer of Hezekiah. As long as I got my little refuge, as long as I got my job, as long as I got my cottage to go to on the weekends, as long as this thing stays away from my door, isn't that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. We are not called to yield a generation to the devil. We're never, as the Church of Jesus Christ, called to give up the fight, give up the battle, give up the testimony of God, give up a whole generation when we have access to the throne of God, not in our strength, according to the writer of Hebrews, but in our weakness and in our need, we are invited. And he says, come boldly to the throne of God. Come boldly. Come as a son. Come as a daughter. Come as one who has a lawful right to be there, is there by invitation. Has access to the resources of heaven. The whole supply and the storehouse of God is available to every son and daughter of God. Come boldly in your time of need. Praise be to God. My personal prayer lately is, God, make me an ambassador of your power. That's what I've been praying. I've been praying it for a few months now. I want to be an ambassador of the power of God. I want to walk through the valley of weeping and make that place a place of rejoicing. I want to be able to go into prisons and see the doors unlocked in the name of Jesus, the real prisons that are binding people. I want to have a voice that will cause darkness to go hide in the rocks where it belongs and call out those who can still hear the voice of God into a living relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I want to make a difference in the church and help God's ministers get out of this place of self-focused lethargy and get back to the power and back to the work of God. That's my prayer. And lately I've been praying, God, if it means hardship at the end of my days, I don't care. I don't care. My hat's in the ring. But I'm not willing. You know, I could just die in success. May I put it that way? I mean, pastor a church of 10,000 people. We've got a budget. We've got a huge missions program. We're on the radio. We're on television in many places. We're on television all over Europe, live on Sunday morning. They broadcast our services all throughout Europe. And there's just a lot going on. And so you could just draw back and put your feet up and say, well, we've done our part. No, we haven't. What we've done is just a drop in the bucket to what the need really is all around us. May I be an ambassador of your power. Let that be your prayer. Going back into your community, back into your pulpit, back into your home, whatever your sphere of influence is, may I be an ambassador of the power of God. May I unashamedly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Gary said, may I truly believe that I have the power to cast out devils. I have the power to call people out of darkness and into life. I have the power to see the sick healed. I have the power to lead people to a place of strength and power in Christ themselves. May I believe God. You know, in David's day, and I'll close with this thought before we pray. In David's day, King Saul was a lunatic, and he seemed to have the upper hand in the nation. He's leading the nation farther and farther away from God. He's at the point where he's pursuing the anointing of God to destroy it. Doesn't it sound familiar? And David is in a cave. He's in a secret hidden place which looks to be weak. And 400 people come to him. They were just fed up. They were tired. The Bible says they were distressed, in debt, and discontent. They were frustrated by the moment. But they knew where the power really was and the anointing really was. And they chose to go to an obscure place rather than just live in the rest of this mixture that was all around them. And I don't know what happened in there. But when I get to heaven, I want to go into the video section because I want to know. I want to watch this. Whatever happened in that cave, all these people who were weak and not a very good report, they came out like lions, every one of them. I mean, you read a story of a guy that with a staff went and plucked a spear from a giant and slew him with his own spear. Another guy jumped in a pit to kill a lion on a snowy day, of all things. Like, I mean, it's bad enough being a lion in a pit, but when you add snow to the formula, you know, it's slippery under your feet. I mean, what are your odds with the lion? But he didn't care what the odds were anymore. Something had happened to these men and women. Something happened to them. I don't know what happened, but I think David just started recounting the stories of what God had done. Tell us again. What else are you going to do in the cave? You know? I mean, what else are you going to do? You're all stuck in a cave for days. David, tell us again. What happened in when you were a kid and the lion and the bear came in to devour the flock? Well, I saw it coming in and suddenly this something came on me. I felt it was God and the lion reared up. And of course, he was only a kid, so the lion would be this tall. And he said, I grabbed it by the mane and I broke its neck. The strength of God came into me. And the same thing happened with the bear. And then when I came in where Israel was fighting against this voice that was rising up every morning saying, come, fight with me. If you think you can defeat me, we'll serve you. But if you can't, you'll serve us. Aren't we in a similar moment in this generation? Put a man before us. You see, it's Christ we're going to put before this generation. It's not you, it's not me, it's going to be Christ in us, the hope of glory that we present. And David runs into the valley. You know the rest of the story. So I feel the men in the cave are just saying, David, Tell us that story again. And as he keeps recounting how the power of God came on him in his weakness, the power of God came on him in his foolishness, the power of God came on him when all he was doing is just bringing some cakes and raisins to his brothers. The power of God came on him for the honor of God. And then he would say, tell us, why are you concerned about the honor of God? And he would start talking about the promises of God and the covenant of God and what Israel is supposed to be and what the devil is trying to make it into. And as he shared, this got into them. And they were like bees in a hive. That's what I feel. And when the enemy tried to hit the hive one more time with the stick, the bees all came out and they were ready to sting. Praise be to God. May that be our portion here. May we come out of this conference like bees that have been sent. Enough of darkness beating on my hive, man. I'm coming after you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you by the power of God, by the strength of God, by the Spirit of God. You see, I've knocked on his door and he opened his door and he gave me everything I need. He said, I'll give you as much as you need. Praise be to God. He gave me everything I need. You are in trouble, darkness. You are in trouble because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He's told me that he'll give sight to the blind. He's sent me to unlock prison doors to those that are bound. And he's sent me to tell them, this is the moment of your freedom. This is the time of your deliverance. That's who I am. I am an ambassador of the power of God. I'm an ambassador of the victory of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let God arise. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let the church, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them arise in the power of our God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise be to God. Let the church arise. Let the redeemed of the Lord. God, I pray in this room, Lord, that you raise a voice. Your voice, not ours, your voice, your compassion, your courage, your power, your redemption, your love, your mercy, Lord. May it be all you and none of us. God, we're asking, Lord, for the power to put a literal, not just a dent, but to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy this ungodliness that would swallow this generation. We're not looking to save a country. We're looking to save people who dwell within its borders. The country will look after itself. God Almighty, God Almighty, make us ambassadors of your power. Make us ambassadors of your victory. Make us ambassadors, God, that have your word inside of us. Deliver us, God, from sermons that only talk about you but do not speak for you. Deliver us, God, from these things. Give us a word from the throne of God. Give us the power to go into the inner prison of people's hearts and bring a light there and say, follow me, I'll show you the way out. God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty. God Almighty, be God Almighty to us. Be God Almighty in us. Be God Almighty through us. Glory to your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God, 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 praise be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now the Bible tells us with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I want you to get out of your seat or get to your knees in your seat, whatever you want, or walk the aisles, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not about a posture. It's about the heart. And say, God, I'm coming to you and I'm knocking on your door. And you know what you need. What do you need in your church? What do you need in your home? What do you need for your family? What do you need to make a difference in your generation? God says, I'll give it to you. You come knock on the door. You seek, you're going to find. You ask, it's going to be given to you. Everyone who asks receives. You knock and it shall be opened. I will give you my Holy Spirit. I will give you strength. I will put new light in your eyes. I'll put new strength in your hands. I will put new sandals on your feet. I will cover you with a robe of righteousness. I will put a ring of authority on your hand. I will cause you to dance and rejoice in my presence. Glory to God. Lift your voice to God. Now, everybody that's here, lift your voice to God and tell him. Knock on the door of heaven now. Knock on heaven's door and tell him what you need. Now, Lord, we thank you because your word tells us that everyone who asks receives. So, Lord, we bring our petition with thanksgiving. You are not a liar. You don't exaggerate. There's not little caveats in between the lines of Scripture that says with all the little stars and the conditions we're not aware of. Lord, what you say is what you mean. You are a God of truth. So with thanksgiving, we know that what we have asked for, you have given us. What we seek, we will find. What we have knocked for will be opened. Lord, deliver us from powerless religion. Deliver us, God, from man-made Christianity. Bring us into that which you bought for us on the cross. God, lift our eyes higher than where they have been looking. Lift our hearts deeper than to what we have already embraced. And Lord, give us the grace that we need to be ambassadors of your power, your grace, your cross, your victory, your love, God, to this generation. Give us words that can't be resisted. As David threw a stone into the forehead of Goliath, let our prayers cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We stand against the weapons of the devil that he has formed against this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Satan, we resist you. We resist you, we rebuke you, and declare to you that God has a church. God has a testimony. God has a victory. You full well know it, and you're going to know it again in this generation. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for faith. We thank you for victory. Thank you for power. Thank you for great grace, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him a shout of praise now in this house.